In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, we're going to begin reading, so I'll ask you to stand. We'll honor God's word. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Father, as we study your word today, may you be glorified. And Father will give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Boys and girls, get on the children's church if you'd like. There's a journey that we're all on now, and you know, you didn't get an invite for this journey. You didn't get any information what was going to happen on this journey, but you're on the journey. And of course, the journey we're on is the journey of life. Nobody asked you if you want to be born. Nobody asked you if you were interested in living this kind of a life. You just were born into it. You know, it's interesting when we're little. As children, we don't have to make very many decisions. Most every decision is made for us. We don't have many choices, and so it's pretty simple. You just do what mom and dad say, and you get along okay. But as we get a little bit older, we begin to realize there's a lot of choices in this life and a lot of decisions that have to be made. And as we start making a few of those wrong choices and wrong decisions, we realize there's consequences when you don't think right, when you don't make good choices, when you don't make good decisions. And so we start to try to learn from life, what's the best way to live? What are the important questions? You know, some questions we face in life, it really doesn't matter much. If you paint your front room blue or you paint it gray, is it really going to matter all that much? Now, if you got a wife that hates gray, yes, it may very well not be a good decision. But other than that, many of the decisions in life, are we going to have chicken for dinner tonight or fish? Well, it really doesn't matter that much. It's no big deal. But some decisions are extremely important. Who am I going to marry? Is that a pretty important decision? Well, it only lasts 60, 70 years. I wouldn't put much stock, you know, not all that important. But some decisions are extremely important. What I want to do in the next few weeks, we won't do it right in a row, but in the next few weeks, we're going to cover three questions that are extremely important in life. And they're the three answers to those questions that you better get right, or it's going to affect you all the days of your life, and it's going to affect you right into eternity. So the first of those three questions we want to ask is, what should we love most? Now, it's pretty obvious we just read Matthew 22, and so we say, oh, I got an up on that one. I know what he's going to say. Well, you probably do, but the questions that we ask, especially that question, has an assumption made that you are going to choose to love something or someone most in your life. And that someone or something that you choose is going to affect your entire life. And it's going to affect your eternity. Now, the Lord you choose, because there are many lords, the Bible says there's many lords, and there are. The Lord you choose is going to affect you all the days of your life. We're really praising the Lord for Braxton. He's made a choice at 9 years old. I was 25. I hope you've got a date that you can remember when you made that choice. Because if you haven't made that choice, the choice is being made for you. If you don't walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you walk against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's extremely important. You may say, money is my number one goal in life. I want to be rich. When my oldest daughter, Amy, was dating, she was about 16 at the time, and she had a young man come over, a nice young fella. But he came over and he wanted to date her, and we got talking, and I said, well, what's your primary goal in life? He says, well, I want to be rich. And I said, well, that's not a bad goal. But is it the right goal for life? The Bible says in 1 Timothy, those that want to be rich, if that's your goal, I just want to be rich, the Bible says you're going to shoot yourself through with many sorrows. Wanting to be rich, nothing wrong with being rich, but if that's your number one goal, guess what? You've got a Lord that's going to hurt you. It may be your ego. That may be your Lord. I want everybody to know my name. And young people today are really caught up in that. They get on these formats on the computers and stuff, and they put out the craziest information trying to get people to follow them. Apparently, you can make a lot of money if you get enough following. I don't understand all that, but that can get you into trouble too. Your job could become your Lord. There are people that literally have no time for their husband or wife or children because all that matters is my job, my title. For others, it could be education. I want to be the smartest person around. That becomes your Lord. For others, it's just happiness. I just want to be happy all the time. Anything that interrupts my happiness, I'm just going to kick it out of my life. I think I mentioned a few years ago, I and Mimi were into Amway. This is years ago. I won't be telling you anything. But we really got into it, and we really started to get better at the business. We were growing in it. And then I got a little tape. Back then, it was cassette tapes to inspire you. And the lady that was on the tape was the Three Diamond Direct. She was way up there in the leadership. And she said, anything at all that interrupts your business, making your business successful. I don't care if it's your children, your husband, your health. You just ignore it all because you've got to put yourself into your business. I closed up the books and I said, no, this is not for me. I am not going that direction. So many people I see, their business, their income is their Lord. And they will do anything and everything to get it done. So the first question that we're going to cover out of the three, and I believe it's the fundamental question to all other questions, is what do you love most? What has your heart today? We sang that song, More Love to Thee. Well, if that's your situation, take the world, but give me Jesus. Take my health, but give me Jesus. If that's where your heart is, it's going to make a huge difference. The greatest man that ever lived, a man who claimed to be God, gave an answer to the question, what should our primary love in life be? The question Jesus was asked by a lawyer, it's probably one of the two greatest questions ever asked in the scriptures of anybody. That lawyer happened to be a Pharisee, so he was both a Pharisee, very learned in religious matters, but also very knowledgeable of law. He asked the Pharisee, considered to be a religious expert, asked Jesus the question, and it deserves a great answer. In Matthew 22, verse 34, it says, when the Pharisees had heard that they had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? To understand the question, you have to go back in years and study the Old Testament and realize in the Old Testament, there were 613 different commandments that the Pharisees came up with. 248 were positive commandments, thou shalt, and 365 were negative. One negative for every day of your life. How handy. All those commandments and rules and regulations, a good question, which is the most important? Where do we start? And a good answer was that Jesus gave, that we start with love for God. If you don't start there, what it winds up being is just 365 commandments. You've got to start with the love of God. So the greatest sin anybody could ever commit would be what? To not obey the greatest commandment. If you don't love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, you are committing the greatest sin that anybody could ever do. It's a greater sin than murder. It's a greater sin than adultery. It's a greater sin than taking the Lord's name in vain. It's a greater sin than which day do we worship? One of those huge questions. So we are to love the Lord our God literally with all of our hearts. You know, this lawyer who was an expert in the law and an expert in the religion probably felt pretty stupid when the answer came, because the answer that Jesus gave was given by Moses 1,500 years before, and this lawyer, this Pharisee, was supposed to be an expert in both. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus gives the answer. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. The reason it should have been obvious is that every Jewish boy and girl, as soon as they could speak, the first thing they were taught what was called the Shema. The Shema was a prayer that every Jewish man and woman would pray three times, literally every single day. From the time you were able to talk, all the way up until the last day of your life, you would have repeated this prayer that Moses wrote way back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 4. And it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So very obviously, if you're going to say that three times every day, you ought to have a pretty good idea what the first and the greatest commandment should be. What Jesus said in effect to the Pharisee, the lawyer, was the greatest commandment, the foremost commandment, is to love God. And not just any God. Today, if you say, do you love God? People will say, oh, yes, I love God. Which God? There are thousands, literally. When Tim and I were at Saginaw Steering Gear, we had a man that was Hindu. He was an engineer. And he said in his religion alone, the Hindu religion, there were over 10,000 different gods. His particular god that he chose was Shema. And he had a picture of Shema on his wall. I don't know where they got the picture from, but a painting, I guess. But, you know, you can literally worship thousands and thousands of different gods, and it's not going to do you any good. In fact, it's going to bring you harm. When you pray to God, any God besides the Lord, our Lord says he's a jealous God. He wants you to worship him and him alone. You know, that question, which is the greatest commandment, is still pretty important in our nation today. In our nation today, back in 2007, the Reveal Project did a survey of 1,000 different churches to find out from people what percent of the people in each of those local churches put the love of God as the first priority in their lives. Would you be interested to know? It took 7 years to finish this. Do you know that 11% of people that attended 1,000 different churches, only 11% said the love of God is the most important thing in their life? Folks, that's not good. That should be the most important thing in all of our lives. When we dig deeper into the commandment, it's easy to see that it's kind of odd that God commands us, the first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Can you command somebody to love another person? Not if love is an emotion. But love isn't just an emotion. Love is a choice. Love is a commitment that before anything else, I'm going to put my relationship with my Lord at the top of the pile. Folks, so many people don't do that. It's what my wife wants most that I'm most concerned about in life. It's what my husband wants most. It's what my boss wants most. It's what my grandma or my mother or my sister or whoever it might be. I'm more concerned with what they think than what God thinks. Folks, we can get it so messed up The Lord wants us to love him with all of our heart, to make that commitment that, Lord, you are going to come first in my life. If you want something and my wife or my husband or my children want something different, I'm going to go with you, Lord. Folks, I can remember when I got saved. My dad was not a happy camper. My dad was a gambler, and he loved to have the family over gambling, and all at once, I wasn't going to gamble with him anymore. That really hurt. I know others of you that have to make some pretty serious decisions because mom and dad or brothers or sisters wanted with all their heart for you to do this with them that you had always done with them. And now you're saying, no, I'm going to put God first. Folks, it's a choice you're going to have to make. Either you're going to love someone or something more, or you're going to choose to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. If you do that, if you decide with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, I'm going to love God, that puts him in what place in your life? First place. That's what he wants. He wants to be first in your heart, first in your life, first in your house, first in your job. There's not room for any other master. We have one master, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many that want to be your master, many that want you to live for them and for their glory and for what they think is right. But there's only room for one to be really Lord. And if we choose the Lord Jesus Christ, all's going to be well. So what the Lord wants us to know, and Mark even adds to those three, we got three with all your soul, all your strength, all your might. But in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, he adds another. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So he makes it four instead of three. You know, heart, mind, strength, it isn't referring to four different character traits in life. They tell us there are about 4,000 different emotions that a man or woman can have. And so the Lord isn't listing out each emotion. What he's saying is in each emotion, these are the things that you must keep first. Your relationship with your Lord has to be number one. So how does love for God work itself out in our lives? When our heart loves most, whatever your heart loves most, you're going to chase after. You're going to seek it with all your heart, whatever's most important to you. And if it isn't the Lord, it's going to be something or someone else. And if it's something or someone else, what do you do when that thing ceases to exist? Because sooner or later it will cease to exist. What do you do then? Find something new? Well, maybe. Or maybe feel that your life is over. I can't tell you how many people, and I understand love for a wife, I understand love for a husband, but literally when their husband or their wife dies, they die. I mean, life is over for them. And folks, as much as we love each other, that should never be. If we put Christ first in our lives, when we lose, and some people have lost children, and my heart goes out to them, I never did, and I'm glad I never did. But anything you would put, so many people, when my working days are over and my job is done, my life is done. I have nothing to live for. I live for my job. Hope you understand there's going to come a time when you're not going to have that job. I don't care how much you love it. You're not going to be able to do it forever. What we want to have is something that's going to go on forever that is first in our lives. And there's only one thing that can be. It has to be the Lord God, our Creator. So how does it work itself out practically in life? The good thing is the Lord doesn't leave us ignorant on this. He shows us in his word, if you put him first, what are going to be the practical outcomes of that? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, the obvious outcome is you're going to obey what God has for you. The most important thing for you to understand, because so many people get this so confused, if you love the Lord, you'll do what? You'll keep his commandments. But you have to ask yourself, which commandments? So many people want to go back to the Old Testament and keep the law as given by Moses. Those are the commandments. My friends, you've got an Old Testament. The Bible says the law was put into effect when Moses wrote it, until when? Until the Christ would come. You see, there was an end to the law. When we talk about keeping the commandments, now in the New Testament, we're talking about what's commanded for this church age. I don't keep the Sabbath day. I hope you understand that. I hope you understand. I eat pork. I don't have to keep the Old Testament laws. When Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, he's talking about what he commanded to his church. And it's not the same as what Moses commanded to Israel. So many people get that so confused. Jesus said in John 15, verse 9, as my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. So here it is, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Two commandments. Jesus gives the answer. The first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What our Lord wants us to know here is that if you love God with all your heart and you love your neighbor as yourself, guess what you've done? You've fulfilled all the commands that are for the church age. When I talk about the law of Moses, I'm not saying just throw it all out, because the way we show people that they're sinners is by showing them the law. 9 of those 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament, but one is not. The only one that's not repeated in the New Testament for the church age is keeping the Sabbath day. That was for the nation of Israel. But there are other commandments we don't do also. I don't offer sheep. When I sin, I don't go out and take a sheep to some priest and have him offer it. Today I go to the Lord and I confess my sin and repent of it, and guess what he does? He cleanses me from it. So things are different than they used to be. What God says is love is the most important thing, and where you put that love is the second most important thing. If you don't put it with God, and he's not your greatest love, you've just committed the greatest sin you could ever do. And so what he wants you to do is focus on these things. Every parent with their children and with grandchildren, we want two things basically from them. We want their love, and we want them to obey us. That's how this all works. Our Heavenly Father is the same way. He wants us to love him and to obey him. Now, I got to tell you, children can obey their parents without loving them. And you can obey God the best you can without loving him and thinking you're doing exactly what he wants. But what parent wants to hear their child say, you know, I never loved you? Yeah, I did what you told me to do, but I missed the most important thing. Our Heavenly Father is no different. He wants you to obey him because you love him, not just because you're trying to keep a list of rules. He wants you with your heart to love him with all your heart. Because if not, to love God is to obey God. But you can try to obey, and I can't tell you how many people I know that are trying to earn their way to heaven by doing God's will. And they miss the most important part. They never fell in love with God. And so I just want to encourage you today, make sure that you love God and the right God. We are to love others unconditionally because Jesus said in the second half of that, the second most important commandment found in Matthew 22, verse 39. He said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I got to tell you, that's quite a commandment to do. Someone said, to love the whole world for me is no chore. My only real problem is my neighbor next door. Have you ever had a neighbor like that? One that you wish with all your heart would either move or you'd be able to move because you just can't quite get along with that guy or gal. Jesus said loving our neighbor is such a great commandment that there's only one greater. Our Lord wants us to fall in love with people because people are made in the image of God. Any of them perfect? No, not a one. That's where unconditional love comes in. It doesn't mean you have to hang around with them all the time because some people, they really are like a Nicholson file. Every time we get next to them, man, they rough us up and we leave, oh man, that hurt. But we still have to be kind. We still have to be gentle. We still have to be loving. And we still have to try with all our hearts to lead them to faith in Christ. Some of you have seen some people, maybe your dad, your mother, your uncle, your aunt, that were really quite obnoxious people, but then they met the Lord, and everything about them changed. That's what we want to do. We want to keep bringing people to our Lord. Every Jew knew there was supposed to be love for God with all your heart, mind, strength, and every Jew knew you ought to love your neighbor. But do you know, nobody ever put it together the way Jesus did? For all those thousands of years, with all those commandments, 9 of the 10 commandments are what? They're negative. There's only one positive commandment in all the 10 commandments. Jesus turned it all around and gave us 2 commandments that cover the 10 and all the other 365 all together. 2 commandments summarize the 10. When you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, you will have no other gods before him. That's simple truth. There won't be anybody in your life that's more important to you than God, because with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, you're committed. You made a commitment, just like Braxton did the other day, that I'm going to put Christ first. With that kind of a commitment, guess what? This world can tempt you with whatever it wants, but you're going to constantly go back. No, my greatest love is for my Lord. Yes, I do care about you, but I care about you the same way I care about me. I'm second. I'm not first in my own life. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's first. I'm second. Believe it or not, you're second also. You are not first. You can only have one head Lord. You can't have two. You take one. Jesus did was take those 613 commandments down to 10, and then he took those 10 down to just 2. When you love others as you love yourself, you're going to honor your father and your mother. You won't murder because you love people. You won't commit adultery because you love people. You won't lie and you won't covet your neighbor's house. Why? Because you love them. Do you know who almost all of us put first in our lives? We put ourselves first. But suppose you loved others exactly the way you love yourself. What would happen to our county jails if everybody tried to love each other the way that they love themselves? You realize the jails would be empty? We wouldn't need the policemen on the streets. Things would be different at work. Everything would change. Our problem is, number one, of course, we don't love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we choose not to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's where all the problems come from. Just imagine the average business, how much different it would be if all the people there really cared for each other as much as they care for themselves. When you get into the business world, it's dog eat dog, isn't it? It's I'm going to use you to get what I want, and that's why there's such frustration in our work. If when we went to work as Christians, we would love others as we love ourselves and love our Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, everything would literally be different. Unfortunately, as I mentioned about that church survey, only 11% of the people that go to church regularly said, I put my love for God as the most important thing in my life. Let me just ask you, if you were to take your survey yourself, what would you say about yourself? Would you say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind? Or would you have to be honest and say, you know, maybe the Lord's number 13 in my life, or maybe number 22, or for many people that go to church, the Lord's number 197 in the list of loves for me? Folks, do you realize that the Lord wants more than anything for you to make that total commitment that you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength? Because once you do that, the journey you're on gets pretty simple. All the other choices fall right in line, and you can walk confidently in this life with the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Do you know why there are so many shootings in schools and hospitals and post offices and everywhere else? Do you know why there's so much crime in our cities? It's because we don't love God as a people. God is priority number 276 for most people. In fact, God is almost hated by many people. We have to come back to this, that the Lord is calling each of us to make a total commitment. You're on the journey of life. Some of you are almost as old as me, and a few of you are a little bit older than I am, and we're beginning to realize we're winding down the journey. This is not a time to fall in love with the world, folks. This is the time to say, you can have this whole world. You can have the fame, you can have the power, you can have the money, you can have it all, but you leave me Jesus and I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. I don't care much about this life now. I mean, I still love my wife, I still love my kids and grandkids and so on, but my heart's in a different place. I put my heart on pilgrimage. I'm just a stranger in this world. I want to enjoy it as much as I can, but enjoyment and peace and happiness is not my number one goal at all anymore. I want to love my Lord. I want to love other people. I want to show it in a practical way that people can say, there's a man. Remember when you were young, some of you a little bit older, some won't remember this probably at all, but you heard somebody say, there goes a God-fearing man, or there goes a God-fearing woman. Folks, that's what I want people to be able to say about me. I hope you want the same. I hope with all your heart, you fall in love with the Lord. He's your creator. He's your sustainer. He's the one that's going to give you hope for a future that's so bright. That's why our kids are committing suicide today. They have no hope. They have no hope in this life, and they certainly have no hope for a life to come. The reason I love the Lord so much is that He's blessing me in this life. He's given me more than I deserve, way more. And now He's promised me eternal life with Him. I think of Tina's aunt. Tina's aunt's been sick for quite a while before she passed away the other day. Do you know she's a Christian and she's never going to be sick again? She's never going to know sadness again for all eternity. When you think of that, that gives you hope. And hope won't make you ashamed because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. Take it all in, folks. Take in all the love you can take from God because God is love. Father, with all our hearts, we want to give our love to you. Father, with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, Father, give us the grace to put you first. Help us to love others as we love ourselves, that, Lord, people might see the love we have for you because it's shown in the love that we have for them. And, Father, we're going to give you the praise today as we go into the communion service now. And we'll give it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.